And this news crossing the wire, a federal appellate court has decided disgraced financier Bernard Madoff will remain in jail pending his sentencing in June. So he won't be going back to his Upper East Side penthouse to await his sentencing. I'm Amy Eddings, sitting in for Brian Lehrer. Good morning. Thanks so much for tuning in. If you've walked past any newsstand in the last couple of weeks, you will have seen Michelle Obama on the covers of The New Yorker, Vogue, O Magazine, and New York Magazine. People are fascinated with her, her clothes, her body, and her choices as First Lady. And the scrutiny has revealed a lot about Mrs. Obama, but it's also revealed a lot about us. Jennifer Senior, senior editor at New York Magazine, wrote the cover piece about Michelle Obama as part of a series of articles the magazine put together on our new First Lady and what she means to Americans. Jennifer Senior joins me now. Welcome to WNYC.
Hey, it's great to be here.
What was the idea behind the series of articles in this week's magazine?
That's a great question. I think it's more or less what you said. I think it's exploring this fascination with her. She's risen to this level of icon so quickly, and I think her cover art almost sort of summarizes it. You know, it's very Warhol-like.
Yes.
It looks like one of those Warhol silk screens, and like there should be like 16 of them in, you know, tiny postage stamp size or something. It's got those real colors that pop. And
well, so, she looks sort of plastic. Is this about the idea of Michelle Obama?
Goodness, I can't tell you whether that was deliberate. No. I think she's meant to just look kind of larger than life, as if she's, you know, peering from a billboard or something, you know, with the bright pink lipstick and all that.
Mm-hmm.
That's what got me. But yes, it is about the idea. That's right. That is definitely right.
Do you think there's a common thread when you look at the offerings that your fellow writers contributed?
It's funny. I do. I mean, one of them is banal, and the other one, they're related common threads. I think one is that every essay in some way seems to imply that there's something authentic about her, whatever that means. And I think that explains part of the kind of fascination with her. I think the other, or the reason, I think people are able to project quite a lot onto her because they relate to her in some way. And I think another common thread through many of these things is this theme that what her role seems to be at the White House and what we all seem to associate her with to some degree is she's kind of a demystifier. She seems to be in the business of demystification.
Hmm.
So when she was when Barack was running, she would sit there and she would say, oh, he's just a man. You know, give me a break. I mean, the guy balls up his socks and leaves him on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and now that she's in the White House, she does things like, hey, come on into our kitchen. Check it out. We're eating locally. You know, there's something about her. Again,
she's
it's sort of the theme of accessibility or something. You know, that seems to be a thread that runs through a lot of these pieces, too, I'd say.
Breaking down that fourth wall, there's also a thread in that everybody loves her. I mean, I didn't find really any criticism in any of these pieces at all. But, of course, we know that there have been criticisms of Michelle Obama. There were moments during the campaign when people thought the way she talked about her husband, that, you know, balling up of the socks on the floor was emasculating.
Yep.
People called her unpatriotic for her comment about it being the first time in her life she was really proud of her country.
Yep.
There was a conservative suspicion she was secretly militant, an angry black woman.
Right.
She also got some heat for announcing that she would be mom-in-chief as opposed to taking on her own policy portfolio. But despite all of that, during the campaign, her approval ratings have steadily gone up. They're at 63% now, almost twice as high as a year ago.
I can account for that. Let me first point out one thing. It's true. The pieces are extremely favorable. If you'd like to see anything unfavorable written about her,
go to the comments page.
Just keep scrolling to the comments. And then there will be no shortage of testimony. And it's very interesting that, in fact, it's very lopsided. Generally, we have more kind of even commentary. I don't know whether there was some kind of covert campaign to, you know, to remedy this imbalance, which is fine. You know, I don't know where it comes from. They're comments. They're anonymous or quasi-anonymous. But anyway, going back to, and in fact, this comment invoked some of the uglier things that you were talking about. Mm-hmm. You know, whether it was poo-pooing mom in chief, that tends to be a tame one. It's more like, you know, she's a socialist, she's not a patriot, she's secretly, it's more like the old New Yorker cover that lampooned these ideas.
Right.
And I think that there are a couple of things that can account for this shift. Number one, she's an awfully quick study. I mean, she's like her husband. She just gets good at this stuff awfully quickly, I think. And then I think that some of this, yes, my essay actually points out that it's interesting that she didn't have the same kind of fate as Hillary Clinton did as the first lady, that she didn't sort of get the same public drubbing because they were sort of similarly viewed in the beginning, where they both seemed like they were, you know, they were both career women who out-earned their husbands in the private sector. You know, they were both kind
lawyers.
Of lawyers. They were lawyers.
Both
they had
from Chicago.
Both. They grew up 25 miles from each other. They were both very straight laced. They were the straight laced, tough ones in the family. And, you know, they both said these things on the campaign trail that were extremely opinionated and kind of great and revelations and wonderful if you're a career woman, and kind of striking and hard on the ear, I suppose, to people who weren't accustomed to that kind of thing from a potential first lady. I think the difference here is something about it, I think, is generational. Michelle Obama came along at a time when I think she didn't have as much politically invested in making that claim, you know, I'm a career woman, I need to do... She didn't come of age in 1969, essentially. Hmm. You know, when Hillary came of age, she, you know, it was against a very politicized backdrop when making these choices to go into the workforce was quite a politicized choice. At the same time, Hillary had to sort of rein in her ambitions, and she sort of subdued them and like went along to Arkansas and followed her husband to this, you know, backwater for career women, and had to sit on her own kind of inner executive for years and years and years while she poured tea in the executive, you know, in the governor's mansion. So it was this very complex time when women had very strong ambitions but were also reckoning with other very powerful counterforces in the culture, and it made for a very conflicted brew for that pioneering generation. Michelle comes along and it's better integrated. You know, that's all I'd say.
Jennifer Senior is senior editor at New York Magazine. She wrote the cover piece about Michelle Obama. We are talking about Michelle Obama, the icon, the first lady, the stylista, the woman with the guns. Give us a call. We want to hear from you and your thoughts of Michelle Obama. Why do you think people project so much onto her? Do you think she's entered the consciousness in a really different way than Laura Bush or Hillary Clinton ever did? And if so, why? Give us a call at 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, or comment online at WNYC.org. Click on the Brian Lehrer Show. Jennifer, do you think it's also because Michelle Obama actually comes in to the White House at a time when being a mom is cool? You know, that you can say I'm mom in chief and everybody goes, oh. I mean, you couldn't really say that in 1982.
I think that was my point about generational. I think that also she already established her bona fides as a career woman. So, you know, I mean, she's already done it. She made $315,000, I think, in 2006, you know, the last time she worked full time. So, you know, it's also, I think, acceptable to sort of say, you know, I'm taking some time out. Mm-hmm. I think that's part of it, too. She also has, by the way, a built-in child care arrangement that many of us would, you know, love to have.
Yeah, her mother.
And that, yes, her mother
is living in the White House.
And I think that that also makes people go, oh, you know, there's something very home and hearth about it all that's really lovely and very, I mean, it's very old-fashioned in the greatest of ways, you know?
Do you think it legitimizes or normalizes grandparents taking on a central role in child rearing, especially for African-Americans where is often the case?
Oh, that's
certainly in troubled families where, you know, dad is in prison or mom has a drug addiction problem.
That's very interesting because, of course, this is like an exemplary family, so it's hard to know whether or not people are going to analogize. I mean, I think that it's sort of interesting to just get a portrait of an extended family in the White House. I think that I'm more taken by the idea that having grandma around while everyone's there is normalized. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's kind of exciting. But yes, I mean, I suppose it could, you know, it depends too on whether, you know, Mrs. Robinson remains, is that her name? I think so. It remains a, you know, Marion remains a kind of hidden force, or whether she's around, whether we see her.
Let's talk about Michelle Obama's body, her arms, her curves, her height. Several writers commented on this in the New York Magazine articles. Why do you think people are so fixated on her body?
Well, it is unusual to have a first lady who's 5'11". Let's start with that. You know, I don't have any friends who are 5'11" who are women, so I think there's just, she's striking. I think that, you know, she wears, I mean, I don't know when the last time, I guess it was Jackie O who, you know, kind of wore these sleek, perfect designers, right? So, I mean, some of it is just that, like, she's got the body that can actually show off the fine effect. The designers we hear talked about on Project Runway, well, we can talk about that. You know, I think that it's probably the first time that we've seen a first lady kind of overtly wear her sexuality in this way at some time, and I think that that's new and unusual, and people are definitely expressing tremendous ambivalence about that.
John from Paramus, you're on WNYC. Good morning.
Well, she stole my thunder a little bit because she is a striking woman. She's very attractive. She's particularly bright and articulate, and she's a mother and a wife. She expounds all the family values, too, and she does all that, and she's black.
Right.
And I think a lot of America at first can't relate to that, but I think that's what makes her stand out. She's really got a lot going for herself.
Thank you, John, for that call. And in Terry McMillan's contribution to the pieces, she wrote, Michelle Obama's got a silhouette like a question mark, and she doesn't apologize for it. Do you think we're obsessed about her body in part, Jennifer, because it's a black body, a powerful body?
I think so, and I actually relish the idea that, yes, I loved that line. It's the one line that I retain from our whole package. It was just gorgeous, and I do relish the idea that women, you know, who are not born, you know, sylph-like, or who don't weigh 106 pounds, can, you know, look at Michelle Obama and go, wow.
Yeah, yeah, and she's our first lady. You go,
and
wow,
she's our first lady, yeah,
and she's digging or helping to create an organic garden at the White House today,
yeah,
to boot, so kudos for her.
Right.
Jennifer, we need to wrap up. Senior editor at New York Magazine, she wrote the cover piece about Michelle Obama as part of a series of articles about the First Lady. Thanks so much for joining us, Jennifer.
Thank you.
And thanks for your calls and contributions. The conversation continues online at WNYC.org. I'm Amy Eddings. Thanks so much.